Hare Krishna. So this is Nirjali Ekadasi, and we're following a 14-point program to observe this holy day of Ekadasi. Now it's 1:24 in the morning of Mahadwadasi, Pandava Mahadwadasi, which is also called Nirjali Ekadasi, Bhima Ekadasi. And I guess we've covered about of our 14-point program here for liberation or self-realization. We've covered about four points. So there's some question, who is Bhakti Devi? Some people believe that Bhakti Devi is a second name for Tulsi Devi. And other devotees are of the opinion that Bhakti Devi is some other identity. So we're hearing some discussion here from Jivadharma and this glossary. Bhakti Devi is the goddess of devotion, the Sarup Shakti of Krishna. All the Shaktis are Krishna personified form. The Ladniya Shakti of Krishna personified form is Radha. The Sandini Shakti of Krishna personified form is Balaram. The Samvit Shakti of Krishna personified form is Vasudev Krishna himself. So these are the primary Shaktis of Krishna, Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. So now Bhakti Devi is also Sarup Shakti. So Vishwanath says that she is Yadricha, which means that Bhakti has her own will. It sounds Icha. You've heard of Icha, means desire, same as Hindi. Yadri, Yadra and Icha, so Yadricha. She has her own will, she does whatever she wants. And she's Swaprakash, she manifests whenever she wants. She's self-manifest, she's not dependent on any other agency in order to manifest in a person's heart. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 1:26, it says, Yato Bhaktir Hokshaje Ahoitaki Apratiyata. That which is causeless, Ahoitaki, no cause, and uninterrupted, Apratiyata. Bhakti for Lord Ahokshaja arises. In this verse of Bhagavatam, the word Ahoitaki explains that Bhakti has no cause. The only cause of Bhakti is Bhakti herself. Bhakti is the bhakti. How do we get bhakti if bhakti has no cause? How does it? Everything has a cause in this world. If you have any effect, then there must be a cause. Someone's very wealthy, then the cause is this life's activities or last life's. Well, there's some action. There's some cause. Last life, he gave lots of charity. He was very pious and religious. So that was the cause, and the effect is this life. He's born. He has wealth. And there's a cause, or you can see in this life, he did hard work and had a good success in business, he became wealthy. There's a cause to every effect. It takes intelligence to trace it out. But in bhakti, there's no cause. So how does it happen? There's no, everything that happens has a cause. Well, bhakti has no cause. So how does it happen? How do you get it? Where do you get it? When do you get it? Bhakti is situated in the heart of a bhava bhakta. That is the only cause for her manifesting in others. Krishna is under the control of his unalloyed devotees. He has invested such power in them, Kripa Shakti. Therefore, sadhana is not the true cause of Bhakti's appearance. Bhakti Devi, being self-willed, manifests Bhakti in the heart when she is pleased with the Bhakta's unalloyed service attitude. The bhav, the attitude, the mentality of seva, seva bhav. It's not how much service you've done or what service, it's the attitude behind it, it's the backing, the mentality. Ultimately, this indicates that bhakti acts through the agency of Krishna's bhaktas who are situated in the stage of bhav. When they see the sincerity of the sadhaka bhakta, the bhakti which is within the very nature of their hearts is transmitted into the hearts of the sadhakas. Other than this, there is no cause for bhakti's appearance. So this basically explains how bhakti is Sarup Shakti of the Lord. But it doesn't explain her specific identity. But I thought maybe we'd find that direct answer there. But I have read in other scriptures that Bhakti Devi is because the supreme devotee of the Lord, the supreme manifestation of bhakti, among all the possible devotees of the Lord, the parents of the Lord, the friends of the Lord, the servants of the Lord, the lovers of the Lord, the wives of the Lord, the consorts of the Lord. These are all different categories of Krishna's devotees. Swakya, conjugal wives, Parakya, paramour lovers, and Vatsalya, the parents of the Lord, Vasudev Devaki, Nanda Yashoda, and others that are in that mood of parental love, then the friends of the Lord, the Vaikuntha friends like Arjun, and Dwarka friends like Uddhav, and then the friends in Braj like Sridham and Subal, and then the consorts, conjugal consorts and queens in Dwarka, and the conjugal paramours and lovers, the gopis in Braj. These are all the different associates. But of all these devotees, they're all devotees, and they're all great devotees and eternal associates of the Lord. But who is the greatest of all those devotees? The greatest devotee of the Lord, who does the greatest worship and supplies him with the greatest happiness in all possible categories, within herself, who has all the other bhavas combined. Vatsalya bhava is in Radharani, Sakya bhava is in Radharani, Dasya bhava is in Radharani, Shanta bhava, all the bhavas are there. All the bhavas are in Madhurya bhava, everything. Just like in earth, we have everything. Earth contains fragrance and taste and sound and touch and everything. All the elements are there in earth. So Radharani is the, everyone recognizes that Radharani is the greatest devotee of Krishna. This is the fact. In terms of ras, in terms of seva, in terms of satisfaction, in terms of surrender, in terms of submission, in terms of dedication, in terms of absorption, in terms of meditation and service, Radharani is par excellence. She is the topmost, greatest devotee of the Lord. Srimati Radharani ki jai. Yeah. So she is the greatest repository of bhakti. She is the embodiment of devotion, right? Because she's the greatest devotee. Her name is Radha. She only has the name Radha. Radha means aradhanam. Aradhanam means worship. She's the greatest worshipper, which means the greatest servant. Anyone who worships the Lord, what are they doing? Offering incense all day? Offering ghee lamps all day? Is that your idea of worship? No, they're serving. Cooking and making garlands and singing and dancing and all the bathing and playing and swinging and all different sevas for the pleasure of the Lord. So Radharani is serving 24 hours a day. That's what we were saying earlier. We didn't make the point. But of all the devotees of Braj, only the devotees are have 24-hour drive-in service. You know, like some stores in America, they have 24-hour service, 7-Eleven or whatever. So the gopis never sleep. 24 hours a day, the gopis are serving Krishna. The coward boys sleep at night. The mothers and fathers sleep at night. The Nishta and Ambika and Kalimba and Raktak and Patrak and different servants that live in Krishna's palace, they sleep at night. The servants, the male and female servants in Dasyabhava, they sleep at night. The friends of Krishna, they sleep at night. Balaram, of course he also has the gopis, but Sridham and Subal. And the mothers are all sleeping. Ambika, they're like a motherly bhava. Kalimba, they're a motherly type. Rohini and all these. But the gopis, they're serving Krishna all night long, all day long, day, morning, afternoon. It's called Ashta Kaliya Seva. Serving throughout the eight times of the day. Now it's called Nisha Lila, Ratri Lila, 10:48 p.m. to 3:36 a.m. Now the gopis are in Govardhan, could be, in Govardhan, this time of the year in Govardhan, or possibly Vrindavan. At the Rasastali, right now they're in Rasa dance. Gopis are serving, but everybody else is sleeping. All everybody in Nandagaon sleeping, everybody in Barsana sleeping, everyone in Yavat sleeping, all the Gaon sleeping. But we're in Gopi Bhav. So gopis don't sleep. If you want to be a gopi, then don't sleep. If you want to be a bopi, then sleep. But let's say you can't do Jagran. You can't do Jagran. It's a lot easier to do Jagran if you little blood sugar really helps. When blood sugar goes down, then energy goes down. So the gopis, when do they do jagran? Only once a year on Nirjal?
Every
night.
Yeah.
Every day. 360 days of jagran. And we think we're superheroes if we can somehow drag ourselves, slink ourselves, sleep ourselves through one jagran. We think, I did a jagran. I did Ekadasi jagran. Hari Bol. Oh, you're the king of the universe, man. You're a superhero. Isn't it? Super champ. So Bhakti Devi. We heard this is Sarup Shakti of Krishna, and we heard that Radharani is the greatest devotee of the Lord. So because Bhakti, Radharani is the personification of Bhakti, and other places it's told, and also here by Bhakti Nala, that Bhakti Devi is a direct expansion of Srimati Radharani. Bhakti Devi is an amsha of Srimati Radharani. She is not Brinda Devi. She is not Tulsi Devi. There is no connection. Tulsi or Brinda Devi, she is called Leela Shakti. She helps arrange the Leelas. All the overseer and arranger for all Leelas in Vrindavan, her name is Purnamasi. Purnamasi's other name is Yogamaya. There's Mahamaya and Yogamaya. Yogamaya is Purnamasi, and Mahamaya is Durga, or Ma Durga, Ma Shakti. So Yogamaya, she makes arrangements for all the Leelas of the coward boys in Krishna, and his mother in Krishna, and the gopis in Krishna, and all the Leelas going on. And the gopis in Krishna, general Leelas are done by Yogamaya. And she appears as an old, elderly, saintly lady, like a tapaswini, like sannyasi type, tapaswini in Braj. She wears saffron also, matted white hair, and she walks with a stick. And she's kind of cool looking. You know, that's her Nitya Sarup. She's youthful, but she has this matted gray hair, but she looks youthful. She's not old like me or something. So that's Yogamaya. She works in conjunction with Brinda Devi. So all Leelas of all rasas are organized by Yogamaya. Brinda Devi, her specific area of Leela is Madhurya Leela. She's arranging Madhurya Leela and the specifics of Madhurya Leela with Radha and Krishna and the gopis and also Chandravali, especially Radharani, and specifically the Leelas in Nikunja Leela. The specific arrangements of Nikunja Leela and Rahasya Leela and Ras Leela of Krishna and the gopis is arranged by Srimati Brinda Devi. And Yogamaya there, they work in cooperation, but when it gets into the details, into the intimate parts of the Leela, then Yogamaya takes a little step back. Because Yogamaya is Purnamasi, and she's a little elderly lady, she's more in the Vatsalya Bhav. Brinda Devi, she's absorbed in Madhurya Bhav, specifically, because she is a Kayavyuha Sakhi of Radharani. Brinda Devi, she's a Sakhi of Radharani. Expansion. Lalita Sakhi is expansion of Radharani. Vishaka Sakhi, Yasha Sakhi is expansion of Radharani, called Kayavyuha. Brinda Devi is also Sakhi, expansion of Radharani. So this is her function. Arranging for the intimate Leelas. She provides all the instruments during the Ras Leela. She makes all the individual arrangements inside Nikunja, the water, the tambula, makes sure everything's there, and she engages different sakis and mandris working with her, and this is her area. And then she meets together. Yogamaya makes general plans for the Leelas. This is Brinda Devi. Now she has another expansion. She's a person, Brinda Devi. Brinda Devi is a person, like two arms, legs, a beautiful gopi. She wears a blue dress and a pink choli, which is a prasadi remnants of Radharani. And she has some parrots that work with her. Many, many parrots are her messengers. And some of the parrots are Krishna's parrots and Radharani's parrots. Manjubhashani, Vichakshana, Daksha, and other parrots are there. So they work with her and they do spying and collect information about the movements of Radharani's mother-in-law and her husband. And they give her the information, like her. She has a network of Airtel towers and cell phones and Google Global. So this is all done by a group of parrots. So they're much more beautiful to look at than mobile towers. And they're much more colorful than cell phones. And they're much, they sound much sweeter than cell phones. They sing so nice, parrots. And they also talk without paying any money. You don't have to pay money, you get talk time with a parrot. Parrot talk time. You get 100 rupees talk time with Vrindadevi's parrots. Cell phones you have to pay for every minute. Every minute costs you 1.5 rupees. Unbelievable. What a ripoff. Total ripoff. So no one controls their senses in Kali Yuga, especially their tongue. So this is a great business. To be anything to do with the tongue, if you're in any kind of tongue business in Kali Yuga, you can make $1 million in a minute. Food, talk. This is the place to put your money in tongue business. It's a fact. Tongue business is where the money is. Restaurants, food, fast foods, slow foods, long foods, short foods, fat foods, thin foods. Weight losing foods, weight gaining foods, right? Foods, tongue. Vacho vegam anasakota vegam jiva vedam udrapasta vegam. Jiva vegam. Pushing of the tongue, force of the tongue. Tongue is forcing us to speak all damn nonsense, everything. And if you give a facility to speak nonsense, then people will take it, go crazy. Cell phone, 1 rupee. In 5 years, they'll sell a cell phone for 1 rupee. Guaranteed. 1 rupee cell phone. Now you can get one for 199 or so. 199 rupees, I think, cell phone. Why? Because you have to pay 1.5 rupees to talk. Here's a facility. Here's tongue facility. Oh, thank you. I can talk to my friend in France. How much? Oh, 3 rupees. Okay, then it's like heroin addiction. You start with 1 microgram a day, then pretty soon 2 micrograms, 3, 4, 5. Oh, it's only 5 rupees. Take 1 microgram. Okay. Ah, wow. Oh, give me more. Oh, now it's 10 rupees. Oh, I want 2. Then 50. Then pretty soon you're up to $50 a day. Heroin addiction. Radhe Radhe. Hare Krishna. Bhakti Devi is an angsa, an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Because wherever Bhakti Devi appears, that's Radharani. Their amsha, it's her expansion. Zero connection with Vrindadevi. Absolute zero. It is not Vrindadevi. It's not another name for Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi doesn't function in that capacity. That's not her area of seva. Zero. It says that the spiritual master represents 2 shaktis of the Lord. He represents bhakti shakti. Bhakti shakti is a combination of what? Samvit shakti and ladini shakti. Samvit shakti is knowledge potency. Cognizance, awareness, the ability to know God, the ability to understand God, the ability to understand who we are, what we are, the ability to understand the tattvas of devotion, of bhakti. It's called samvit, complete knowledge, samveda, samvik shakti. Then haladini shakti. Haladini shakti. This means the ability to love God. The ability to give. The ability comes into our heart. The capacity, the potential, the ability, and the inclination comes into our heart to give pleasure to God, to serve God, to give joy to God, to give happiness to God, to give bliss to God, to give love to God. The ability to love God, which means love means to serve, and serve means to please, and please means to give happiness and joy. So that's called Aladini. That personified, that singular potency personified is Radharani. Although Radharani also has Samvit and Sandini within her, because she's also a female godhead. And Krishna has all potencies within him, because they're his potencies, Samvit, Sandini, and Aladini. But he specializes in his Vasudeva form as Samvit. And when he expands in a full presentation of Sandini, or existence potency, the ability to exist, or the foundation, or the area for something to take place, that's called Sandini, Sat, eternality, existence. We exist. Vrindavan, for Krishna to have some Leela, he needs some place for it. So placement, existence, foundation, structure, whatever the foundation of Leela, that is called Sandini. So that potency is personified by whom? Lord Balaram. But Lord Balaram also has within him Ladini Shakti and Sandini Shakti. Why? Because he's God. He's also God. What's the difference between Krishna and Balaram? One is white, Krishna is black. So God is black and God is white. And God is gold. And God is right. All right. All good. God is all good. So Bhakti Devi is a combination of two Shaktis of Krishna, Ladini and Samvit. So when Bhakti Devi comes in the heart, one attains knowledge, paravidya, paramarthik gyan. Paramarthik gyan, awareness and understanding of Atma gyan, Atma tattva gyan, and Bhagavat gyan, knowledge about God, knowledge about Himself. There's five knowledges, categories of knowledge presented in Gita Upanishad. What are those five categories? Ishvara Tattva Gyan, Jiva Tattva Gyan, Karma Tattva Gyan, Prakriti Tattva Gyan, Kala Tattva Gyan. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Karma, and Kala. These five categories of knowledge are given in brief summary in Gita Upanishad. Correct? Correct. So when one has guru and takes diksha, diksha means di-sha. Di means divya, and sha means, divya means divya-gan. And sha means to destroy ignorance. Guru. Guru means ignorance and gu means light. Guru. Guru removes the ignorance and gives light. So this diksha, divya gyan, transcendental knowledge, and sha, which destroys or eliminates ignorance. Om anjana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. So Bhakti Devi is a combination of Ladini and Samvit, which is the Swarup Shakti of Krishna. Krishna. Brinda Devi is an expansion of Radha, Radharani. And her purview, her area of service is Leela. And she expands herself as Tulsi plant. Because Krishna will not wear a garland without Tulsi Manjari inside. This is in Srimad Bhagavatam in two verses. That's why when Krishna offers a prayer to Tulsi Devi on her Avirbhav Tithi in Kartik Purnima, he says, Krishna Jivani, Nandani, Pushpasara Tulasi, Vishwa Pavani, Vishwa Pujita, Brinda Vrindavani. So he says, Pushpa Sara Tulasi. Sara means essence. Pushpa means flower. You are the essence of all flowers. Juhi, Kadamba, Laga Laga Bakul. Nothing secondary. Number one flower, Tulsi Manjari. Or Tulsi Phool, Tulsi Pushpa. Okay, you can offer me other flowers. It's nice. Oh, where's the Tulsi? Oh, no Tulsi. Oh, okay, I take, because it's a fragrant flower and the Shastras say that I accept fragrant flowers. Okay, I take. That's really Vishnu, that's not me. Vishnu, because all these Shastras, Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's all based on Puran. Hari Bhakti Vilas, everything is coming, Padma Puran, Skanda Puran, Padma Skanda Puran, and nowhere in there it describes Krishna. Some few places, mostly it's Vishnu. In ancient literatures, in Shrutis especially. So they're discussing basically worship of Vishnu. So the Goswamis have brought that into, and kind of Krishnaized that and say, one should not, it is a great offense to offer a Krishna flower that has no scent, that doesn't have sweet scent. So anyone who wants to worship Krishna they have to learn, and they have to learn, does this flower have a nice sweet scent? Do I like the smell of this flower? Then if they, and otherwise, they'll make offense. You become the servant of the king. You're his cook. And you say, let me just cook any damn thing and give it to the king. And so I made this damn thing, you eat it, king. Oh, it's burned, it's terrible. You too stupid, out, cut his head off. Kings have that right. Because you're stupid, you don't know. You don't know how to cook properly. And you don't know what the king likes. So Brindadevi has an expansion as Tulsi, and Krishna very much likes to have mantras in his garland. Whenever we can offer garlands of mantras, that's the best, super best. It really says that Krishna doesn't accept any... Have you ever heard the phrase, Krishna doesn't accept anything without a Tulsi? In the old days, when I bought flower garlands from the Malis at Banki Bihari, because I used to go there every day from 1989 to 1992 to buy a garland for Srila Prabhupada and his Bhajan Kutir for the puja, because they have a nice garden. There's the only place to buy a garland, nowhere around Radhadamana in those days. So I'd walk up there and buy a rose garland or whatever the best garland they have, I would get for Prabhupada, 20 rupees, 30 rupees, 40 rupees every day. And somehow I get the money here and there, whatever. And they would have a big pile of tulsi by their garlands, and they put in a leaf plate, as they do, and they put strings around it. Then they would always put tulsi on it. I don't know nowadays. I haven't bought in a long time. They have this big pile, tulsi leaves, mandris, whatever. The garland is just roses, whatever. And occasionally I would see mandris, very rarely, but I saw. And even later on Krishna Balaram's side. They always put some tulsi on the top, because they know that when I go to offer this to Manka Vihari or whomever, in any temple in Vrindavan, if I offer it to the Bajari, there's no tulsi, he won't take it. The most fragrant flowers are white flowers. Please offer me white garlands. This is actually the fact. And Shastras is telling, everywhere is telling Goswami Granth, white flowers which have all colors, or you can say no colors, are the most fragrant, have the most, those flowers, white flowers, have the most fragrance of any flower in the world. Gardenia, Juhi, Bela. People don't understand what is bhakti. That the biggest problem everywhere is people have no understanding what is bhakti. This is really the problem. Bhakti is Krishna's side. What does he want? That's called, he is the subject and we are the object of his. You know, he, darshan means he looks at us. What can we see? We can't see it. We see stone, black stone. Black stone, white stone. Krishna's having, he's the subject and we are the object of his gaze. And when he glances at us with his auspicious sudarshan, we become purified. We become attractive. We can't see. Can we see Krishna? Prema anjana charita bhakti vilochanena. We can see Krishna with prema. Anjana. And who gives it? He gives it. The doctor gives the anjana, then you can see. You can't see. You need a doctor to see. Your eye, you have cataract, you have glaucoma, eye disease, impairment of vision. He comes and puts the ointment on. Oh, I can see. So Krishna gives the eyes. You want to see me? I give you the eyes. Prema comes from Krishna. Krishna prema? Pradayate. Krishna Chaitanya. Who is Krishna Chaitanya? Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. So Radha and Krishna, what do? They give prema. So if Krishna gives the anjan, then what? You can see Krishna, right? So, Krishna, I'm cooking for you. Do you like chocolate chip cookies? Do you like peanut butter cookies? We like them. Do you like them? You know, what's the big deal about making something that Krishna likes? It's so hard to do. But we do that every day. We make things Krishna like. We got to make things that we like now. We're tired of making things that Krishna likes. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm from Russia. We like peanut butter cookies. So we make peanut butter cookies and we offer them and everybody says they're great. So we'll just keep offering. Okay, fine. Meanwhile, Krishna says, Radharani, who are these guys cooking? Don't they know what I like? You know, my philosophy is devotion. What is Krishna like? My Guru Maharaj's philosophy was this. Money was not the consideration. Krishna's happiness was the consideration. And that's how ISKCON was built. Krishna's pleasure.